Good morning. I pray that you would now open your ears and listen with your heart to the words of the scripture. Our first scripture is taken from Jeremiah 23. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their father forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Our gospel lesson is from Luke 12. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law.
I'd like to invite kids to come up, if you would. Squeeze together, we can get you all in here. Come on, squeeze together. That's good, let her, make room on the end. Get her in there, that's good. Good morning to you all. Nice to see you this morning. If God told me I was doing something wrong, let's say I was kicking a kid's foot in my class, and I was bullied, kick, kick. Then when he wasn't looking, I snapped him in the back of the head. Then I kicked him again. If the teacher saw that but never said anything, would that be a good teacher or not so good teacher?
Not so good
teacher. Now here's the hard one. When God is talking to you and me, does he always just tell us the easy stuff, or do he also tell you, you stop bullying yourself. Because we can be mean to kids in our class, or we can be mean to our parents, or we can say mean things to our own brothers and sisters. We can even tell lies. Any of you ever do that once in a while? Thank you for being honest. Yeah. And you know what God says? I hate that. And he gets really serious. He doesn't stop loving you, but he gets really serious. The same way your mom or dad or a good teacher would get really serious if she saw me kicking your foot, and she would look at me and she'd go, Bruce, you knock it off now or you're going to leave the room. Yes. Or worse, I'm going to send you home or send you to the principal's office or tell your dad. Oh. Well, our sermon today is about God and how he loves us all the time, but sometimes he gets really serious with you when he sees me doing something wrong to a kid. God would tell me what?
Stop it.
That's right. And he would be really serious about it. And if I kept on doing it, then he would even get more serious. So our sermon is about the fact that God, like a good parent or a good teacher, sometimes brings really tough discipline into our lives. And he really tells us, you knock it off now, period. Okay? And it sounds about like this. And everybody gets, oh, I think he's serious now, right? Yes. Well, I'm going to try and explain this to the parents, okay? And you listen for it, because the sermon is all about when God gets serious and warns people, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Has your dad ever done that with you?
Yes.
Your mom ever done that with you? Good. God does it too. Because he loves you. Can you remember that part too? Good. All right. Got some treats over here, ladies. Are you ladies? You're close enough. Ladies. I'll step right back here. I'll let you go right after they're gone. Good man. Thank you for not yelling at me. Hurry up. 5, 4, 3. I'm going to hand them out to you quick. You're going to get what you get. Come on. Hurry up. Okay, guys, you can go in there. Wait, let her in. We got a girl here. Let her in. Come on in, honey. Come on in, both of you. Come on. Here you go. You're welcome. There you go, honey. You can go with her. You can have one. You're welcome. You're welcome. I like listening to other preachers preach once in a while. One guy shared about a cardboard Jesus. He said, you have a nice cardboard Jesus in your house? The one that you've kind of created of your own making? And he just sits there and always smiles at you and he never gets upset because he would never raise his voice to me because I do everything right. And I go, he identified that. And used that as a great sermon illustration. I didn't have a cardboard Jesus, but there he is, so... But I did pick up the idea of what we picture Jesus doing and being sometimes needs to be rattled and shaken up a little bit. And this text does that. All right? It's all there is to it. It just makes you go, what'd you think? I came to bring peace? And you go, well, yeah, didn't you? He said, no, I came with fire to kindle upon the earth. You begin to go, that sounds really threatening. But it's a little bit like when your dad or your mom get really serious, you know, stop it or else. And you know the or else is real. And that's the kind of thing. So this is a great text. It's a kind of an interesting one because it says, no, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring division. And that is another interesting word right there because we know in the back of our minds that that really does happen. Every one of us deals a little bit sometimes with somebody walking away from us because we have Christian characteristics or behaviors or values or whatever else they might be. And they do not want to be around that. And we've even seen, certainly culturally in America, at a time when Christianity was viewed and appreciated and loved, and they made movies about it with Bing Crosby singing in the background over Boys Town and everything else like that, whatever they had. And now much of that is gone because the situation has been changing. And we are realizing that to follow Christ doesn't necessarily bring peace. At least if we're looking for the kind of peace where our family can talk about certain things. How many of you have not got topics that you don't bring up when the whole family or certain people of the family are together? Not. I'm suggesting we all got them. You can talk about this and this, but don't talk about that. You know, and suddenly we begin to realize that there is a tension sometimes. And sometimes the challenge comes out, which is the challenge I want to throw at you, which is there are times to lose. There are times to divide. There are times to walk away. And there are times they might even be the closest people in your life. This is why this is a hard text. This is why we are challenged by it. How do I learn? How do I discern when to be patient, when to be long-suffering, when to let it go, when to not make the point, when to say it's okay, and how do I function like that, and where do I draw my lines? Because it's not a question. We all have lines. I don't know where your line is, but we are, like I've shared before many times, you all have a line. I will let this happen, but if they go this far, that's it. I'll let them use that word, but they can't use this word. I mean, we do that in the government. We do that in our schools. We do that in our families. We do that in our parenting of children or grandparenting or whatever our role might happen to be. And so in the middle of it comes this message. And this is an interesting one because Jesus preached it literally. As it starts way back there at the beginning of chapter 12 and even before, it says there were thousands gathered around him. Thousands of people heard what he was saying at this particular point. This was not small stuff. He was fully aware that in those thousands, there was with them those that were Pharisees and others like that who were doing all they can to trip Jesus up. They're doing all they can to ruin his reputation, drag him down in whatever they could. And so here, in the middle of this whole context, in the middle of all of these different things, where he finally talks about this, no peace, but I'm going to bring division. The last thing I want to hear on a Sunday sermon is this. Why? Because I know what the division feels like. It happens between me and friends sometimes. It happens as you make a stand and you make a point or you stand your ground or you come across just a bit too strongly and the person just begins to drift away from you or in a fit of anger runs away or walks away or throws up their arm in disgust and tells you how narrow-minded you are and how demanding you are and you have no right to expect that of me and why are you saying that to me? And it sometimes happens when you say it to somebody else's kids. But I'd encourage you to be extremely careful with that one. God didn't give them to you. You can talk to their parents, but be gentle when you start talking to somebody else's kids. This is no small stuff. This is actually quite heavy. It's a heavy section for me because I don't want to hear this. Two against three, three against two. Who wants to hear that in your family? Which two are going to go to heaven, or which three are going to go to heaven, and which three are going to go to hell? Do you understand the implications of two against three and three against two? This is not just we're disagreeing what TV show to watch, what movie to go to, what to have for supper, and what we're getting on our pizza. This is life and death. This is those two or those three are going to hell. They're not coming into heaven with you. I have come to bring fire upon the earth. Fire cleanses, fire purifies, fire judges and consumes. And in the middle of it, we've got Christ speaking these words. At the same time, he would go this way. Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And we got verses like that, and then we hit this one, and it hits us square in the chest, drives the air out of our lungs, and we go, I don't want to hear about my children, my good friend, my acquaintance, my wife, my mother or mother-in-law going to hell. Now, we can joke about that, but this is not the joking time. This is a time when we get really serious, and Jesus is trying to put an emphasis on the end of a long sermon that he's been giving to thousands of people. And toward the end of this sermon, he points out these very things, and he says these points that he makes and continues to make. And ultimately, his last point that he makes at the very end of this thing is repent or perish. Repent or perish. This is not Jesus being warm and fuzzy. This is Jesus being loving and right up hard nose. This is the dad going, you're not going to do that again. And really putting the emphasis in his voice and his tone and his attitude. Repent or you're going to hell. Now, when Jesus says that to us, he's not doing it to hurt me. He's doing it because he wants none of my children to go to hell. He wants none in my family or your family to not be listening or hearing. This whole section of chapter 12, beginning even by chapter 11, is filled with both the mercy and the warning of God. Be careful of this. Don't do that. Let this happen. Be aware, because I don't want one of my children, and remember, they are gifts from God to you, and you are the stewards of them, but they really belong to God. And here's the best part. He wants each one of them back. How precious does he consider that child that drives you nuts? I'll go to the cross for that child. Jesus, what do you mean? I mean, I will go to the cross for that child that drives you crazy. Are you listening to me? Yes. I will go to the cross for that friend who insults you and makes fun of you, ridicules you, and really gets under your skin extremely well. I'll go to the cross for your enemy. Where are you? And you begin to understand what's Jesus trying to get us to grapple with. He's trying to get us to grapple with that final message of, if I don't understand this, I am going to perish. The ultimate challenge is not a threat. The ultimate challenge is I want to burn you up. I want to get your attention. In one sense, I want to burn everything else in your life up until it's you and me, says the Lord. And when you got nothing to lean on, your family's gone, husband or wife are gone, friends are gone, they've all been burned up, he said, what are you going to do when you're face to face alone with me? How are you going to deal with this particular issue? Where are you going to come out? Because I want you in heaven with me. But it's not being easy talked. It's not being hidden under mushy language. It's God going, I am dead serious with you. You do that again, you'll pay for it. You've seen them sometimes in fights, at least on television, when somebody finally just puts their foot down and just stands their ground, and they have to ability to back up what they're saying. And so you and I begin to recognize what's really going on at this point. And he says these things now. It goes, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No. I tell you, but division, splitting apart. All right? From now on, from this point, there's going to be five against three, or five in a family, three against two, and two against three. And then he goes on and finishes it off, and you begin to go, sounds a little bit like my family sometimes. Well, there's a part of it is a warning. This is what can happen. No matter how much you love those kids, they're separate entities. They are your children. And your love makes a lot of difference in the world. But one day, they may still choose to walk in a path that you know they shouldn't be on. God doesn't stop loving them, but he does get more serious and more honest and more intentional when he says, repent or perish. And so you begin to read the last little bit, and I didn't have you read this in the text, but if you go back to your Bibles, we're in chapter 12 now, starting at 54. When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you can say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Well, who's he talking to? Me, if I'm inconsistent. He's talking to my child if she or he is inconsistent. He's talking to a church if it's inconsistent. You're smart enough to look out there and says, we could have rain a little later on today. And you begin to understand, how is it you can figure that out, but you can't figure out where you're going and where you're taking your family and how they're getting there, because we don't understand the significance of the times that we're in. People are trying to get books for you. Why would they do that? Because they have a burning interest in preserving your family, your children, this country in some cases, and certainly the church. And so you begin to realize there is this sense of what we are up against. There's no room for hypocrisy. There's no room for, I'm really sincere, but I'm not saying anything. It is that constant battle of, what do I say? When do I say it? How do I say it? Or should I just keep my mouth shut? And all of those have validity at different times with real live people. And I'm not smart enough up here to preach one word that you have to all go home and confront this terrible friend of yours or acquaintance or friend or brother or sister, aunt or uncle. But instead, I am saying, don't be hypocritical. Don't play games with God, because he's trying to tell you, you don't know who's going to make it into tomorrow or not. You don't know how this is going to turn out. You don't know what seed you plant today may not bear fruit for weeks, months, or even years. But if you do what God asks you to do and step forward into that, then you begin to understand. Last little section before we finish up here, starting at verse 57. Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? What I just said to you. As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled to him on the way, or he may drag you off to the judge. And the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you in prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penalty, or the last penny, excuse me. What's he saying? He's saying, this is how serious this stuff really is. He goes, if you know you're going to court, what would a wise person do if they could solve the problem between them and their neighbor very quickly? I'll come over, I'll cut the tree down, and I'll remove it all from your land, and I'll give you $100 to reseed, or I'll even reseed it. Can I solve that problem before I go to the judge? Or something worse, can I truly solve the accident problem before we have to take it to court? Or whatever the case might be. He's using the analogy to try and challenge me to understand this walk between now and the judge. Is my walk with my son or my daughter? It's my walk with my wife or my husband. It's with those I need to be reconciled with. It's with those who are walking in a path they shouldn't be walking. And I have to figure out in that moment between here and the judge how to reconcile, how to bring about a healing in this family, in this issue, on this topic. Sometimes it just starts with a plain confession and repentance. I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And sometimes what were you wrong about is even required. I should have never talked to you that way. I have not treated you with the respect that you deserve. And you begin to understand, don't be hypocritical. Don't pretend with God. Don't pretend with the person trying to solve the problem before you're standing before the judge. And you begin to understand, this text has one purpose in mind. I want to bring people to repentance so that they can be saved, so that they can be in heaven with me. And that then becomes the challenge or the opportunity that we begin to understand. So the theme of repent or perish becomes brought out in totality in 13. I'm not going to go into it today, but it's the parable of the fruit, the tree that would not bear fruit. And it says, repent or perish. And God gets really serious. It's important to understand God is loving. And even when you get serious and tell the bully to stop it or discipline a child, that's still loving as long as it's being motivated by the right feelings and attitudes. And ultimately, it serves that child's well-being. And so here's God in Christ going, listen, I'm serious about this. I'm going to bring fire. It is going to consume your family. It is going to consume your house. It is going to consume everything you own until you understand there is nothing but you and me and those around you I've given to save. And you are then encouraged, challenged, given the opportunity to face it with the hope that I can bring or help you come to a point of repentance and salvation. Pray with me if you would. Lord, we sometimes forget and we recreate you into a God that's just warm and fuzzy and doesn't deal with the hard things in our life. We kind of pretend that you'll give us more and more and more chances when instead you're telling us they're coming to an end, child. You're walking in a direction that you will never recover from. Your compromise is so thorough that you're missing the very points God's trying to make. Lord, today I pray that that would be so clearly revealed in all of our hearts. Wherever those attitudes are there, change us, Lord. Wherever that we have excuses rather than solutions and a commitment to you, Lord, come and bless us. We pray, Lord, for your presence now in our lives. We pray for the salvation of our husbands, our wives, our children, our loved ones. We pray, Lord, for the wisdom and the courage and the insight we need from your Spirit to know how to talk and when to talk. Come and bless us all, Lord. Help us to hear this tough word with the tenderness and love with which it was given. Pray it in your name. Amen. As the offering, make sure we go to that here. My bad.